And it's time to step into the kitchen once again with Alison Alexander, Queensland Food Fellow. Thank you so much for joining us all of this year and sharing your recipes with us. But today, I've asked you to share something different, your wisdom about how to make Christmas just a little easier if you're hosting for the first time or helping to plan the menu. How do we do it in a stress-free kind of way, Alison?
Thank you for the compliment about asking me about my wisdom. I'm not sure there's much wisdom there, Kate. It's so lovely to speak with you again, and thank you. Look, I think it comes from experience. I think that's what the wisdom is. But it all starts in my mind with being well organised and planning. That's boring, isn't it? But it's true. Write yourself a menu. Try and put it on paper. But I think that what you're looking for is how much can you do ahead of time? How experienced are you? How familiar are you with the things you're going to be cooking? And I always suggest don't try too many new recipes on a day that really matters like this. What you don't want is more than one thing on your menu that keeps you in the kitchen right up to service time. It's never going to make for a happy day.
Okay, so that one thing's got to be like the non-negotiable Christmas special thing that you're going to put effort into that's going to be taking you away from the family and into the kitchen. If you must have something like that on the menu, it can only be one thing.
That's right. That's exactly right. But let's look at the type of menu that you could have. If we're going to have hot, then that says probably turkey, a ham out of the oven. Now, a ham, just remember, you're not cooking that ham. The ham's already cooked. All you're doing is warming it through. And the glaze that you put on it will caramelise on the outside under the heat. So you just want a fairly low oven. I don't put mine on any more than about 150 degrees. But in for quite a long time because, you know, ham is so dense to get right through to the bone to warm it all the way through. I will often glaze a ham ahead of time and then we have it on the day cold, but you've still got that lovely glazed look to it as well. So you make up your mind well ahead of time which you want to do because that's going to factor into your timing on the day.
Try not to set fire to the turkey. I did have a relative who did that. It wasn't me. It was the sort of thing I would do, but I always think when there's turkey involved, try not to set fire to the turkey. Although I have to say the best turkey I ever had had been brined, and it was a Thanksgiving turkey that a very dear American friend of mine spent a lot of time in advance brining. I don't know if it was a 24-hour or 48-hour brine, and it was spectacular. But again, that's a lot of work to do in the meantime and in the lead-up and when we're busy buying presents and wrapping presents and going to see friends and things like that. It might not be the thing for the menu on that day.
You know, you've said something really, really important there, brining. It's something we're not familiar with in the home kitchen. In commercial kitchens, chefs do a lot of that. If turkey is overcooked, it's dry, and it's the thing people mostly complain about, dry turkey. By brining it, and brining is just, at its most basic, it's just a salt water solution. You can add some flavours into that and certainly soak it in that overnight. 24 hours will definitely help it. But that's a really good treatment for a turkey. The other thing I would say, we've just been talking about ham and turkey, and they're both very big things. You know, there's nothing more magnificent, Kate, than having that whole ham on the bone on the table. It looks fabulous. If you've only got four people, who's going to be eating the wretched thing? And then I'll be getting emails halfway through January saying, Alison, I've got all this leftover ham. What am I going to do with it? So in your planning, think about how many people you're going to be feeding and just how much food you do need, or more importantly, how much you don't need. Because the statistics coming out of Christmas Day are truly wicked as to how much food we waste. Because we simply overbuy. You can always buy ham later. It's not as if it's only available on, you know, at this one time of the year. But a half ham provides a lot of sliced ham. So do give that some consideration.
Helps with the fridge Tetris as well.
Oh, does it ever? It really does. A whole ham will take up a whole shelf and probably remove a shelf out of your fridge. So, you know, that's another thing. And also leftovers can only be eaten for a while. You cannot have leftovers 3 and 4 weeks later. That's just dangerous. So, you know, do give that some thought. I think also when you're thinking about how much food you're going to need and the time factor of how much that time that's going to take to cook, be looking at what you can do. I always do mine into days. So 4 days out, 3 days out, 2 days out, 1 day out. And have jobs that are there, because in amongst that, you've still got to cook breakfast, lunch and dinner. You've got to make the bed, you've got to do the washing, you know, and whatever else, sweep the floor. So all of those jobs have to be fitted in. So have a little bit set aside that might be for those drop-ins. But when you've set your menu for the day, you've got your recipe quantities all set out. So you're going to have a potato salad and you've got 10 people. How much potatoes do you need? Does that mean you allocate one potato per person? You're going to have potato salad left over, I promise you. Because if you think about it, you have one or two meats, maybe a few prawns on the plate. You've got a couple of salads. Not everybody's going to have enough potato salad that's a whole big potato. So maybe only allocate, you know, half a potato per person, two-thirds, three-quarters at the most.
Can I throw something in?
Yes.
I think also don't be afraid to delegate and ask for help if you're hosting too.
Really that's important.
You know, all of a sudden taking something entirely off your agenda by just giving it and asking someone to make a potato salad, for example.
Yes.
Not a huge drama.
And, you know, people really feel a part of the whole celebration then. You don't have to cook everything yourself. You really don't. And you don't have to, there's nothing wrong with buying it. Somehow on Christmas Day, a lot of people think, oh, I've got to make that. It's my job, so I've got to make it. No, you don't. If the deli down the road makes an exceptional potato salad, you go and buy a kilo of it. There's nothing wrong with that. There truly isn't.
And that fits in with something that you've said all year about supporting locally made things and supporting local produce as well.
I think that's one of the lovely things, Kate, is that we really can support local growers in our choices of things. Definitely, when you're looking at seafood, please make sure that it is Queensland seafood. Our waters are absolutely teeming with fish and prawns, so there's no excuse not to. When it comes to your meat choices, again, here in Queensland, we're the biggest beef producer in the country. We produce beautiful pork here, and on it goes. So, you know, it's a really good way. Our farmers have, you know, vegetables galore. We've got beautiful fruits right now. There really is such an abundance of food in this country that I think, you know, shopping local and shopping regional is really good. And we've talked a lot about that throughout the year, true, but this is a way that we really can put it into action. And then I think one other thing to be really mindful of is the hygiene over Christmas. Too many people get a tummy upset because not the food was off when it went on the table, but it stayed on the table too long. Then the leftovers that were on the table were taken back to the kitchen and then put in the fridge. Now, they've been sitting out there for 2-3 hours. They're well and truly at room temperature, and room temperature on Christmas Day can be much, much hotter than we'd like it to be with food. So it's better to only put out, particularly in the case of the proteins of the meats and seafood, put out only as much as you think you're going to need in that first serve. There's nothing wrong with then going and picking up the platter, going back to the kitchen and refilling it rather than having a problem. And you'll either have prawns the next day that you can smell have gone off and you've got to throw them out, which is such a shame and a waste. Or, you know, just be mindful. Be careful about your chopping boards. Only chop on the board the ingredient that you're using and then put it away for washing. So don't swap preparing prawns, then putting some cooked ham on it, and then tossing your salad ingredients and chopping those on it. That's far too much cross-contamination, and you really will get very ill out of that.
And we don't want that in the festive season.
No, don't take the fun out of Christmas. It's worse than anything being crook on Christmas Day, I think. So, look, I know I sound like a school teacher, but they're very simple things to follow. But try to be a bit organised about it as much as anything, and that's just boring things like making lists, but oh gosh, you're grateful for it.
I will try. Alison Alexander, thank you so much for joining us in 2020. Thank you so much for your recipes and also for your wise advice today. And I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
And the same to you, Kate. And thanks for your company and your producer, Glenn, who's been just a whiz to me today and all year. Thank you.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.